Chapter 14 of the Gospel of John is very powerful, and it is very important for all of us. Jesus, on the very night that he gave us the gift of his body and blood in the Eucharist, also told the apostles exactly where he and they were going. Without a doubt, Jesus also told them his true identity and offered to all his disciples the wonderful gift of his comfort, helping to take them through their trials. Please remember that the word disciple means follower, and that word still holds true today. There's a great difference, I might add, between an apostle and a disciple, because an apostle can be a disciple, but a disciple cannot be an apostle unless they are hand-picked by Jesus himself. Jesus is also very clear as to who he considers his disciples. He says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Now, please remember that the time that Jesus walked the earth was centered around the male. And so the masculine pronoun is always used, but I believe the feminine is also included. Let me give you some examples. In John 3:16-18, Jesus said, who is included and who's not included? He told Nicodemus, clearly stating the rules for salvation, when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, these words are true and are very important, as are verses 17 and 18. The world just loves to stop at the end of verse 16. Now, listen to what verse 17 says. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's not so bad. And people will go along with that for just a little bit. But it's verse 18 that many absolutely want to avoid. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Jesus clearly states people who are saved in John 14:23-24, when he says, "If anyone loves me..." Let me stop right there for a second. In John 3:16, okay, to 18, he talks about the world. The world is made up of people, and people are made up of men and women. That's part of my point, okay? So when he speaks of the world, he's incorporating all men and women. And then he's saying, but of those men and women, there are going to be some who don't believe. And those who don't believe, you got the rest of it, okay? If anyone means anyone. We have a room filled with anyone here. And it's made up of men and women. So if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And again, the masculine pronoun is because of that day. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but they belong to the Father who sent me. Once again, the word anyone includes men and women as well. And like John 3:16-18, people listen to John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." They don't want to hear that no one comes to the Father but through me. It's okay. They're okay with, just like John 3:16, you know, they're okay with, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." They want to cut it off there. Jesus clearly sets the ground rules. And how hard it is to understand that believing in Jesus is the key to eternal life in him. These are not just statements, folks, but clear promises, as when we walk with Jesus, the one true light. Jesus' promises are true. He always keeps them. Jesus promised to come for his people and to answer when we call on him. The counselor that Jesus promised when he said, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." The promised Holy Spirit has come and has taken up residence in each one of our hearts, continually teaching us what God wants and bringing peace to our souls. And we all face many difficulties, both because of sin in our own lives and the incredible evil that surrounds us. We're reminded here that God is just as real and as close to us as Jesus was to those disciples, apostles and disciples, in that upper room almost 2,000 years ago. That much is true. Even when we're so rooted in our own problems that we forget to call on Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Our problems, Jesus will take from us when we call on him. Do you remember the three-word prayer? Help me, Jesus. Always followed, it should always be followed with thank you, Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit comes and has taken up residence in our hearts. You know as well as I do that we face many difficulties. Our faith can be smothered at times by the problems around us, and we lose sight of the fact that a Savior is with us. The Apostle Paul reminds us of the confidence that we can have in one person, Jesus Christ. And he says in Romans 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He goes to the extremes. He's talking about heights and depths, angels and demons. You get the message? Nothing can separate us. We're not supposed to compromise on our faith. Either we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, or we believe that he's something else. Those who believe and stay close to Jesus and refuse to settle for a second-best compromised discipleship will find that his peace comes to us as a gift, a peace of a kind that the world can never give. We have the freedom to worship in truth and on the blessings of God's word right here. Jesus said in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This peace will assure them of Jesus' presence and support, filling them with the knowledge that the Jesus they know and love is truly one with the Father. Now remember, they're in the upper room, and this is just a short period of time before Jesus is arrested and taken from them. He wants to prepare them for what's to come. Even though they truly have no idea from the depth of separation that's about to take place, Jesus told them, "You heard me say, I am going away and am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." As closely as they followed Jesus for 3 years, that they walked with him, I truly believe that they didn't fully get it. They didn't fully understand, and were not really, until Jesus arose from the dead on that Sunday morning, ascended to the Father in their midst, and then they would really get it and fully understand on the day of Pentecost. By the way, Pentecost is on June 5th. It's coming up June 5th or June 3rd. It's 2 weeks from today. It's just they fully received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And on the wisdom of that, and wisdom on that day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, we will celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, as I said, just 2 weeks from today. And I urge you at that time to wear something red. I know I will. It's true that sometimes we need a little help and understanding and strengthening our belief. And that's where the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes in. Do you remember just last year we had lemonade on the lawn and we had cookies? And we're going to try to do cookies and cupcakes 2 weeks from today. I'll have more details for you next week so that we can celebrate the fact, the gift of the Holy Spirit together as a community. And we'll do it right outside by the sign before the flagpole. And I think it's a great thing for us to be able to celebrate our community as followers of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't it true that sometimes we need a little help understanding and strengthening our belief? And that's where the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes in. Let me repeat to you what Jesus said in verse 26. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Now, a counselor is someone you go to for help, for guidance. Or in legal terms, a counselor is your defender. This should make sense. The counselor takes your case, stands before a judge, and says, not guilty. Now, let me continue that. From whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, if we're searching for answers, struggling with our faith, or even wrestling with doubt, we only need to call on the Holy Spirit, who we received in the sacrament of baptism, to help us, to counsel us, to strengthen us, and to walk with Jesus. To keep all these words in perspective, we need to look at the last two verses of chapter 14 that are right after today's Holy Gospel. Jesus said, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come now, let us leave. That's John 14, 30 to 31. They would now be leaving on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives and walking across the Kidron Valley. Jesus is preparing his apostles and disciples for what is about to unfold, and that the prince of this world, Satan, will begin his final assault on the life of Jesus. Let me repeat Jesus' words. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Jesus said that Satan has no hold on him. And as believers of Jesus, we also can rebuke him in our lives, telling him to get lost, to depart from us by the power of the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. If he's getting under your skin, folks, tell him, in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. He has to obey. He has to obey the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. When we give our lives to Jesus, the Savior of the world, we receive the kind of hope that gives us strength for today, empowered to put our daily struggle in his hands. We don't need to be tentative when we know what we have with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, walking with us stride for stride. Jesus encourages us to be walking with him, the one true light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.